Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, once again, welcome. Happy New Year to everybody. First Sunday of New Year's, so good. In the interest of transparency and authenticity, you know, those things that we value here at Living Waters, I want you to know that today, this day of 2016, will be my worst day. Thank you for asking. Well, today at the Smith household, we dismantle Christmas. I'm not kidding. This is just the worst day of my life. Oh, well, this year, I hate this. The tree comes down, the lights are gone, all the fun is gone. All the good food is gone. That's what's going to make tomorrow the second worst day of this year for me, is because we're back to celery and consomme soup. Just thought I'd share openly with you, but it's all good. But great to see you here, everybody. I see some new faces amongst us. Welcome to our house. We're really glad that you're here this morning. Let me just open with some prayer, and then we're going to dig into the Word together. Father, we're thankful for a day like today. It's beautiful out there, actually. We see how you've just kissed this earth, and you've given it beauty today. And we're thankful. We're thankful to be in your house. We have the freedom to gather in this place and worship the way that we do, and to open up your Word and to allow your Spirit to move amongst us. We're a thankful people today. So, Lord, would you help us to hear well today? Would you help us, Holy Spirit, to somehow be crafted to look more like Jesus by the time we leave? In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, New Year's is here, of course, the beginning of another year. It's a year that's gone by, so New Year's is really this time of reflection. We take the opportunity to kind of look back and see some of the things that occurred in this past year. And it's also, I think the New Year is also about resolve, you know, looking at the things that we would like to change, or the things that we should continue to change, or the things that we never quite got to from last year's resolutions. Maybe it's about that as well. I think, and as I have been praying and asking the Lord about this day, I think it's also a good time for us to take a few moments to consider how we as God's community, Living Waters, might deepen our spiritual roots this year, that somehow we would become a people that are just absolutely vitalized by the Spirit of God. And so that's the direction that we want to head in this morning. Spiritual formation is another core value for us here at Living Waters. And our hope is that all of us in this community, no matter where it is that we are with our faith in the Lord, maybe some of us are not even there yet, but our hope and our prayer is that this year would be a year that we would go deeper in our spiritual lives, and that ultimately we'd either find Jesus or we would increase in our relationship with him. You know, the fact of the matter is that none of us know what 2016 is going to hold, right? We don't know that. God does, but we don't. We don't know that. But we can be certain of one thing, and that is that if we walk our life out strongly with Jesus, if we do that as best we can, we are in the best possible place that we can be. Walking things out well with Jesus. This is the place that we were meant to be. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7 says this, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." Like, I think I'm excited about us staying green and actually becoming even a more vibrant color of green in this coming year. I'm looking forward to a year that we as a community produce fruit that will help to change us and change the world that is around us. So this morning what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover five fundamental points for us to consider as we move into 2016. And I believe that these are points that are going to help us with those spiritual roots, to help us go deep into that water and find that spiritual vitality that we desire. And as I go through each of these points, you know, maybe all of them will connect with you, maybe only one, but I want to encourage you to take some notes today. So if you've got a pen or paper, just do that. If you're like me, you got to write it down or you forget it. And Linda's got to show me the way home, you know, after church every time. And so memory's just not what it used to be. So if you can, just maybe write things down. And to help us along the way, these 5 points are all D words. Nothing special about the letter D, but it's just going to help, you know, twig the memory a little bit. So you can maybe look forward to that. I don't know. A great first step in this new year is to do this, to drop what we need to fully follow God. It's to drop what we need to in order to fully follow God. This is about dropping those things that have come into our lives that are a distraction to us or have called us away from a meaningful, vital relationship with Jesus. You know, it was a few weeks ago that I spoke about the blockage that is created between us and Jesus when we have idols in our lives. These are the things that really take priority over Jesus. They gain more traction in our life than Jesus does. They're the idols that are there. And I hope, and my prayer is that we're all been looking at and dealing with those idols that are in our lives because they create this space between us and Jesus. It's not that Jesus draws away. It's that we draw away from him because there's something there that ought not to be, these idols. There may be also things that we're carrying into this new year of 2016 that aren't idols, but they're weights that distract us from our relationship with Jesus. And at worst, they may oppress us. You know, sometimes these are things that we feel, but we can't necessarily see. It's just you come into the new year going, oh, I just feel bad inside. You know, there's no life there. If we can't see them, you know what we need to do is we need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to identify these weights that are there. Because God's plan for us is to walk free of those weights. His desire is not for us to be walking into this year carrying those things and to be weighed down, but to be free from them. So we can have that spiritual health and that spiritual vitality. That's what God wants for all of us. That's a great thing for us to pursue. So for some of us, it might be just the weight of unforgiveness. You know, that's big. I've been pastoring a long time, and I know that there's lots of unforgiveness that's out there, lots of deep hurts. Well, sometimes, you know, you just got to face that and say, I'm going to drop that this year by dealing with unforgiveness in my spirit. Others will have the weight of worry. Oh, my goodness. You know, hours spent awake at night worrying and fretting about things that are coming ahead and things that we probably don't even need to worry about, but we worry about worrying about those things. We just got to ask God to lift that weight from us. Some of us carry a weight of addiction or the weight of self-loathing or the weight of selfishness. There's also the weight of fear. These are all things that hold us back, that hold us back from that full and vibrant relationship with Jesus. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus says we ought to feel free and drop in all of that stuff. That we don't need to be carrying that. And in following him, what we do is we find freedom from that weight of all of our brokenness, the weight of all of our messes. He gives us this awesome invitation in Matthew chapter 11. You know this. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. These aren't just beautiful words written in the New Testament. These are the words of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus, and there is in these words this great promise for all of us. Great promise for all of us. See, this beginning of this new year can be this place of new beginnings for us. You know, there's nothing magic in January 1st or, you know, January 2nd or whatever, but there is a place where we can call a starting point. And if you're carrying stuff that you ought not to, today can be the day. Today, right now, can be the time that you walk free from all of that stuff. Today can be the time. Now, I'm not naive, and neither are you. You know, sometimes it takes some work. Sometimes it's not a matter of just dropping it and going along our merry way. But I'll tell you what, the key to moving forward and dropping those weights is by confessing them before the Lord and saying, God, this is in my spirit. This is the weight that I'm carrying. Will you help me? I confess that before you, God. I just need help in dealing with that weight that's on me. And that begins the process of being set free. And the other cool thing is what we have here together. See, this is us. This is family. This is community. You don't need to do this by yourself. In fact, you ought not to do it by yourself. Number one, you need to take whatever it is that you're carrying to Jesus. Just said that. Important. But share it with trusted friends, those that are around you, people that are in your life group. Let them know this thing that you need to be dropping in your life, that you just need help, prayer, people to come alongside you, helping you hold you accountable. So you don't need to do it alone. And of course, we're here, this team that loves to serve you. Let us know how we can help you. But there is this place where we can move ahead. And listen, you don't need to do it all at once. You know, thankfully, the Lord is patient. I'd be dead in the water if the Lord was not patient. He's patient. I'm thankful that he is. But listen, he calls us on to take the steps that we need to in order to be free. We ought not to just accept the status quo with all of this stuff. We need to be able to take the steps to free ourselves from the things that we're carrying, and God will help us to do that. And remember, this isn't just about revitalizing your spiritual life. By gaining a strong foothold in your relationship with Jesus, everything else changes around you, including your relationships with others and finding that deeper purpose for your life that God has for you. Because he does have a plan and he does have a purpose. Getting rid of that stuff helps us to see that more clearly. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. I am so thankful that God is a God of new starts. I don't know about you, but I've had many of them, and I probably will have many more. But God in his grace gives us opportunity. We just need to take the steps forward that we need to take. Well, here's another step forward in terms of spiritual vitality, and that is this: decide. Decide that you only have room to believe. Which means that you decide not to have room for unbelief. Decide on faith every day. Decide on faith every day. And you know, going back to our first point, perhaps unbelief is the biggest thing that we need to drop from our lives. I believe that setting aside doubt and praying as the man did in Mark chapter 9, I do believe, but help me to overcome my unbelief, that in itself may be the biggest factor in seeing God move in us and through us this year. See, while there was this level of belief in the man who wanted Jesus to heal his hurting son, he had limited faith that held him back from believing that anything is possible if a person believes. Those are the words of Jesus. Anything is possible if a person believes. See, that man, he had to decide, he had to determine to believe. It was hard for him. He asked Jesus for help, and Jesus gave it to him, and he healed his son. I wonder sometimes if we have somehow learned to limit our faith over the years. If somehow we have decided on a constrained and more human practice of belief rather than deciding to believe every day that all things are possible. Perhaps we've gone to this place where we don't expect miracles. Maybe we think that they are very unlikely, or we no longer anticipate them, or that God is in this era no longer interested in parting the Red Sea. Maybe that we're too sophisticated in our studies of theology and so on to pray for and anticipate loaves and fishes to multiply and to feed thousands right in front of us. If we can't believe that way today, I would say this: oh God, help us in our unbelief. Help us in our unbelief. You see, the God that we serve, the God that we praise, the God that we read about in our Bibles, is the God of miracles. He is the God in which all things are possible. All things are possible. And for some reason, in our broken humanity, our hearts are prone to be drawn to positions of softening faith when we seek the world's logic, even at the expense of holy truth. Remember, those words were the words that Jesus spoke. And if that limited form of faith is in us, may we choose this year to wrestle the strongholds of unbelief. Strongholds of unbelief that are strategically, by the way, set there by the enemy, who likes nothing better than to see believers limited in their faith. Believers not anticipating God to move powerfully. Could it be that in this year ahead, if we simply decide to believe without limits, as Jesus has instructed us, that we will see what seems impossible become possible? Could it be? I believe so. And I am praying for that. I am praying for miracles of healing. I am praying for answers to prayer that we have perhaps long given up on. I'm praying for God to move powerfully amongst us this year, that we will see God move in power through His Spirit in us. You know, deciding, believing, having great faith, it takes intentionality. It means facing our unbelief square in the eye and saying no to its persuasive hold, even when doubt is the more comfortable position to be in. Because sometimes when we doubt, it's just a bit more comfortable. Faith takes risks sometimes, and sometimes we're afraid to take those. We need to get to this place where we say yes instead of no, belief instead of unbelief, the impossible becoming possible every day, every day. We become a people of belief, people of great faith. 1 John says, "For every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God." That's us. Believe and have great faith for the impossible. Well, the exercise of faith finds its substance in our everyday dependence upon Him. That is, not only believing in God, but also putting weight into that belief by trusting that He has our best interests at heart, no matter whatever our current circumstances are. And so depend is our next word. Depend is our next step in spiritual vitality. Our problem, of course, often is that we too often depend upon ourselves instead of God. We think that we know better. We think that we know our needs better than the one who the Bible says saw us before we were born, who recorded every day in His book, our every day, who has laid out every moment of our lives before a single day had passed. How many times have we heard that passage, read through it, turned the page, and then turned back to trusting ourselves first before God? The problem is that our knowing better than God is often based on what we want and our own comfortable definition of what we need. I'll tell you what, depending on God requires us to submit to Him. It requires us to listen to Him, to have this posture before Him of absolute dependence on the God of the ages. And it's there that we find our strongest strength and our greatest freedom, no matter what, depending on God. And you know this to be true. You know, depending on God is easy on those good days, real easy. It's in the darker days that our trust in God is put to the test. In darkness, and here's the question, in darkness, can we believe God has our best interests at heart? In those hard places, in those dark places, can we believe that God has our best interests at heart? Like when we lose a loved one, when we lose financial security, we lose a job or a promotion or a golden opportunity, maybe when we're diagnosed with cancer. You know, that day, 2.5 years ago, when I was diagnosed with rectal cancer, I asked this question. I needed to know that somehow God had my back through all of this. I never have blamed God for the cancer. We live in a broken world, and unfortunately, cancer is a part of that. But could I see that somehow in all of the mess of the diagnosis, the treatment, the surgery, the ileostomy bag, the uncomfortable physical changes, and the uncertain future, could I believe that God, in all of that, had my best interests at heart? Could I believe that? You know, through that experience, I learned a few things. I learned that at times life can be a pain in the butt. It really can be. But I also learned that you can get over that. I learned the deep meaning of for better or for worse through the incredible love of my wife. And most important, I learned that through the best of all and the worst of all of it, I could depend on God. I could depend on God. That He always had a way forward. He always, always had my back and continues to. See, at points along the way, it was interesting, but God would take me to that 30,000 foot level, and He helped me to see the grand scheme of things from birth to heaven. That this cancer was really only a nasty blip that tested my resolve to trust Him. I could absolutely believe that whatever lay ahead for me, whether I were to live or to die, whatever were to lie ahead of me, He had His best for me. And I continue to believe that absolutely to this day. You see, He is a God of promise. He does what He says He will do. And whether we can see it or not, because of the circumstances that we're in, listen to me, He has our best interests at heart. And He has since before we were born. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. May we find deeper dependence and new strength from the God who has known us and the outcome of our days from before we were born. Will do is our fourth consideration as we move into this new year. These are just two letters, a very short word, but I'll tell you what, it carries with it amazing responsibility for the people of God and amazing potential for every follower of Christ. This is what James, the brother of Jesus, succinctly says. He kind of captures this concept of do very well. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. If our faith doesn't bring us into some form of loving engagement with others, it doesn't bring us life. And where there is no life, ultimately there is death. Doing is vital to vitality. Doing is vital to our vitality. See, we're here on this planet and in this culture for a purpose that stretches well beyond us to a broken world that needs our hearts, that needs our hands, that needs our feet. And the expectation is this: when the Spirit of Christ is in us, our natural response, of course, is to love God, and it is to love others. Not only with good words, but also with tangible actions. You see, it is in the doing that the world sees Jesus in us. So here is our question: how will our hearts lead our hands and our feet to action this year? How will our hearts lead our hands and our feet to action this year? I don't know, it's just a thought, but maybe before signing up for a new gym membership, or dance lessons or a hockey league that begins in January. Maybe just consider serving another first. See, good deeds, the doing, brings life to others, and it brings life to us. 1 John says this, "Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other, let us show the truth by our actions. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God." Well, at the beginning of the new year, it produces all sorts of new convictions. We're ramped up and ready to lose weight. I'm there. We're looking at this new year and thinking about making new friends. We're looking at this new year to start walking again or start jogging again or maybe biking again or shopping less. We got all these great intentions, and the good news is these are good intentions, and the bad news is that it is estimated that more than half of us will drop those good intentions within 6 months. Two for me. But you know what? Not getting to where we want, you know, with our weight or our biking or our shopping less, you know, that's one thing. But what of the fundamentals of the faith that we've been talking about this morning? Those things that keep our faith vitalized, dropping things out of our lives that don't belong there, deciding to believe without limiting the words of Jesus, depending on God and trusting Him in everything, no matter the context, no matter the condition, doing, allowing the heart of Christ in us to move to our hands and feet. What of these things? See, our spiritual convictions require more than just the spirit of a New Year's resolution. So our final D word this morning is devoted. It's devoted. Jesus asks us to be fully devoted followers, fully devoted, not part-time, on-again, off-again club members who treat their faith like a gymnasium membership. Stakes are much too high to play that game. Jesus says, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. There's not a lot of wiggle room in the word all. Not a lot. Listen, our devotion is really just a reflection of God's pursuing us. In other words, our devotion describes our pursuit of Him. And while our devotion has specific and important expressions, like dipping into the well of the Word every day and having real-time and real-life conversations with Jesus as we pray, devotion overall is about our day-to-day living with and loving the One who made a way back for us into His family through the cross. It's a day-to-day experience. It's something that happens, hour to hour. It's a relationship. You know, the greatest resolution that we can make this year is one of devotion. It's one that says that I commit this year to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ, passionately pursuing Him no matter what, passionately pursuing the God who knows my name, a fully devoted follower of Jesus. That's our quest this year. And next, and next, and next. It's our life as believers in Jesus to be devoted, to follow Him well. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back to the platform. I wondered how we would end today. I wanted not to just end on a challenge for the new year, but to end in a place that we are reminded of the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. So what better place than for us to gather around the Lord's table and receive communion together? As we prepare to receive, the Word suggests that we should take a moment and just reflect. Think through the condition of our heart, where we're at. The beginning of this new year is really a great place for you and I to think about this year forward. Think about the things that need to drop out of our lives. Think about that place of deep faith. Thinking about that place of trusting God in all things. Wondering perhaps what it is that God would have us do this year that's going to require that great faith. Knowing that it requires of us devotion. And that's not something that just turns on a dime. It's something that requires our fullest attention and fullest commitment to be devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So consider those things before you come pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. When you're ready, as is our custom, we invite you to come up to the table and just receive the elements, the cracker and the juice, and take it back to the seat with you, and then we're going to receive the Lord's Supper together. So when you're ready, I invite you to come.